The Protect Your Neck Podcast, UFC Louisville Breakdown, picks, plays, and whatever else comes our way. Let's go to work.
Hot air hangs like a dead man from a white oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night. It's a dark night. Dark night. It's a dark night.
Hey, what the fuck? Am I in the right place? Alright, I guess so. Alright. What is up, you savages? We're bringing that back to the program. This is the Protect Your Neck Podcast, and I am your guest host, Don Tom. It's going to be sound like a little bit too much like that pervert Michael Caine in The Prestige of the Great Dan Tom. You know what? Let's just call me Donnie Clifton. And we're here to break down UFC Louisville, UFC on ESPN 57, UFC Fight Night, Cannonier versus Imavov. And yeah, we're gonna fucking get right to it. You guys might be wondering what the fuck is going on here. As you know, Dan Tom has a half brother. Hashtag facts, as the kids say. But what he didn't tell you is that he's a lot fucking cooler. He used to be on MMA betting Twitter a lot fucking longer. And he's a lot fucking stronger, all right? And he's got a winning attitude that's going to come to the show because, let's be honest, you guys need a break from Dan Tom. Dan Tom needs a break too, but let's be honest. You guys need a break more. So he gave me some notes here. Don't worry. Substitute teacher. Got some notices with the mostices. Still going to tell you, you know, a couple notes from Dan Tom here or there, but this is my show today. To be honest, I didn't even know Dan Tom was still doing a show. Until like a few weeks ago, somebody, you know, where I'm from, of course, you know, his half brother's from the East, and I'm not talking about the mythical East, you racist fucks. I'm talking about the Beast Coast, baby, where, you know, technically the show is going to be going. Yeah, we still kind of count you. You still got some friendlies there, Kentucky. Shout out, true UK fan. But listen here, I didn't even know this show was still going on, to be honest. Maybe I'm a bad family member, but it was about a few weeks ago that it was brought to my attention because I was walking and somebody fucking slapped me, right? I'm going to the fucking bagel store and somebody slapped me and I said, what the fuck was that for? And they say, that's for picking Jonathan Martinez over Aldo, you fuck. And I was like, whoa, you Bostonian, easy. Coming up here in Strong Island. Like that. I said, oh, I know what this is. Yep, my dumbass half-brother's still at it, isn't he? Fucking picking against Jose Aldo. What a fucking dumbass. Anyways, you may hear me go from Boston to Strong Island. A little bit like Babe Ruth, you know. I started off like a pitcher in Boston, and I ended up I'm not a catcher. I ended up big, swinging wood in Strong Island, all right? Maybe not the Bronx, right, for the Yankees. But you get it, the same deal. So mind your P's and Q's. We're actually going to make this a faster episode because there won't be any bitching and complaining. I just got the recap written. We're going to keep it fucking simple. What's up, people in the chat? I'm going to try to introduce you. Who the fuck is going on? Chronic Combat Conversations. Wait, is he doing a weed podcast now? What a fucking idiot. Anyways, Dan Tom time. Not Dan Tom time. Sorry, guys. It's Dan Tom needed a break this week. And you got Donnie Clifton in the house. All right, James Kendrick, let's go. I'm excited to see Dan hammer that line mover and jerk. Jerk and lose it? What? I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I'll try to get to this chat thing soon enough. But listen, we're here to give fucking winners. We're going to get rid of the lose energy. That being said, because, you know, Dan Tom talked about it before, so I guess we're keeping that same energy. So he says, to be honest, I think he's just doing it because I'm at the fucking helm this week, but we've lowered the unit sizes. We're going to get to that. Let us blow through this recap, which is UFC 302. Surprise, surprise, his ass loss. Minus 4.89 units. What a loser. We got 7-5 overall in picks written down here. 0-2 in straight plays. 1-0 For T, is that testosterone? Because he ain't chopped up in that. Oh, for totals, that makes more sense. I was going to say, 0-4 round flyers, 1-5 round robins. And 0-1 long shot parlays. Listen, MMA is easy money. I don't know what you guys are talking about. You're going to find out real quick. Me and Dan Tom are real different, all right? Donnie Clifton here. All about MMA gambling Twitter energy. And, you know, it's I mean, how could you not? It's just easy money. It's not like this is a volatile sport or anything. And this dumbass gets it wrong. We had Makhachev versus Poirier. I guess he got that pick right. Strickland versus Costa. That was, he looks like he actually hit an over there. Yeah, the split decisions gave, okay, all right, maybe not so bad. Howling inside the day. How the fuck did you lose this night, you dumbass? We're starting off and you're not even sounding that decent. What the fuck is wrong with this guy? What the fuck, did a cat run across the computer? Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, Polish guy. Number 7, Nico Price, Spring Breakers versus Alex Morono, the Great White. Randy Brown, DeSantis. I mean, the old man didn't get finished, but I mean, Jesus Christ. This is the kind of shit I'm talking about. I'll fucking get hit for fucking random Brazilians, whether he picks him or picks against him. Like this motherfucker. Hopefully you guys aren't tailing him. Kapilov, Almeida. Oh, he whiffed on that one. Jailman. Jailman. How did he not get the Jailman inside the distance? This motherfucker actually uses the cash out option. And to his credit, I came up, you know, I dare say I get his complaints. I fucking came, I don't have any of my round 3 decision lines. Round 3 decision? Round groupings? How the fuck do you live out here in Vegas? You gotta go to the books where they don't even offer the split decision prop at the MGM. They don't even match the fucking app or the numbers. Come on, what the fuck? This is bullshit. Anyways, well, let me see. One second. I don't want to get it wrong. I mean, I don't know if I pontificate here. Message from your leader. The reason why I cashed out is because -120 for more coverage in a Cesar Almeida money line was cheaper and more coverage than -150 for volatile heavyweight Jailman. We don't know what the fuck he's gonna do. And because I wrote that under my Action Network, the honorable schmonorable, I would have felt it dishonest to not play that, and figured I would have hit something early because he was being. It was funny. This is the greatest part. We're just gonna skip the rest of the recap and we're gonna end on this because he wastes too much time on that bullshit. You guys are here for the picks, all right? And I got picks plays loaded and ready to fucking go. Apologies if I'm moving my arm weird because it was a weird deal. In order to bring me on with a little bit of a voodoo thing, so he's gonna get my winning ways because he's such a fucking square. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know the MMA gambling Twitter. He doesn't know about the CLB boys. He doesn't know about betting contender series chalk that's unproven on the prelims where the real money's at. He doesn't know about putting multiple units on dogs that don't deserve a shot in the world and volatile fiend of a fight. He doesn't know about that world like we do, folks. The easy money world, all right? So, let's go easy on him, all right? But yeah. So, let's just get right to this. The funniest part was, is that in order to justify it on the show, because he sent a clip attached to us, but I'm too lazy to put it up for you guys here, so we're just going to get right through this shit, about him actually being positive on last week's show. Like, let me get this straight. He had no right being positive. He was actually positive on last week's show, like he was going to do good and go against trend. And the best part is, not only did Dan Tom crash and burn for all our entertainment, but if you look at the comments, Peoples was telling him to be positive. Hey, kids in Gaza! Positive. You ever think of that? I don't know if you tried that before. Maybe you should be positive. It was fucking great. Oh my God. Oh, God is real and he's fucking with Dan. I love it. I am going to go back to church for this, folks. I swear, Mother of Mary. We're going back. All right. We're also going back to our winning ways here. Unlike our boy, which, by the way, ow. If you see me react kind of funny, I think I don't have a broken arm, but we think Dan has a broken arm. I know the guy gets food poisoning, then he gets the flu within 1 week, and then he gets this eye flare up on his eyes that he always gets from stress. And within a week and a half, a fourth strike, he dumbassed like he did with his shoulder, his ankle, contusions and all this shit that he doesn't realize. Because, you know, I'll give him credit. You know, I make fun of my half-brother, but, you know, he complains a lot. I make fun of him. He's a tough motherfucker. But, yeah, this isn't like his Thailand broken finger where he can just fly and ignore it and not go to the doctors. He's actually got to go to the doctor. Something's clicking in his forearm right now. I know, because, this guy doesn't have it hard enough. And now he's got one hand, which sucks because I blew him off. I'm like, motherfucker, I came down here for 1 week podcast. That's it. I didn't come here to do your chores and your whole sympathy angle. I ain't got nobody. Now he's got one fucking hand. Anyways, fuck him, because we're only looking out for number one. That's how we do it on MMA Gambling Twitter. That's how we do it in the real world. That's how the people who get ahead in life do it. That's what we fucking do, baby. Number one, fuck the family, the friend. Winning, baby. That's all that matters. So let me timestamp here for the fucking editor. It ain't me, baby. I'm only talent. I'm only paid by the fucking hour. So I'm going to try to get this done under an hour, because I'm getting paid for one show. So faster I get it done, faster I get out of here. Shabisha, bam. All right. And you guys will be stuck with, as my Jewish friends, you know, Southern State call them, you know, the schlep over here, Dan Tom. We got 11 minutes in. All right, let's go right to the breakdowns here. This time at the end, I'll get to you guys. Don't worry. Appreciate you guys in the chat. You know, we got the Rain Lamina in the house. We got Jared Cannonier of drinking subpar beer. I love it. Yeah, no subpar beer here. No probiotic soda and bullshit. What the fuck is the fuck's going on with Dan? Can you guys slap him? Is there a Super Chat thing where you pay like $5 and you can slap him? Anyways, if you pay Super Chat, it's not going to Dan Tom, by the way. It's going to me today. So you make sure you hit that. Hit the like if you can. Share if you can. Vote with your dollars, folks. As Dan Tom says, and there will be some things that we will reference, you know, for the analysis. But let's be honest. I'm bringing the real analysis. Reach. Height. Age. The real shit, the winning shit, the smart shit. Let's go. Oh, Jimmy Cotto, this guy's an enforcer, I hear. He's a guy I might lean on when I'm back east. Back east, Jimmy. What's going on, Jimmy? Back east. Enforcer number one is here, my man. All right. I like this guy. This guy doesn't seem like a fucking nerd. All right. I don't know what you guys are doing hanging out with. You guys seem too fucking cool to hang out with Dan. But anyways, we're going at 12:18. Who did I lie? Ah, boy. All right, 12:18. UFC Fight Night, ESPN 57. UFC Cannon Pants is my ass off. UFC Fight Night, Cannon Yamavov. Whatever you want to call it. I'm going to break it down. Top to bottom, folks. Top to bottom. All right, because of the busted wrist and the clicky arm here, he's been a little slow to write. Yeah, write faster, motherfucker. Fucking hell. Tape study my ass. I bet you motherfucker is jerking off over there. It's probably, knowing Dan, it's probably some hipster shit. It's like, it's not even like a Youpon or something. It's not even a website. He's probably like popping in old Rebecca De Mornay tapes from, like, you know, Hand That Rocks the Cradle, because he's such a fucking 90s nerd. We're connected, Dan. I got a date later. Save the bullets. Sorry for your ears. You guys are probably used to that with Dan as well. Fucking creep over there. Anyways, hopefully he'll hammer something else out besides his, you know, his tape study. Ah, fuck, that hurts. His tape study. And that'll get up to you. I know he's got notes here for the co-main event, but so you'll know what to fade, but it doesn't matter. We're not focusing on losers. We're focusing on winners. And, well, Cannon is on a winning streak, and Yamavov is starting to put some momentum together after some growing pains. He had the loss, the no contest. I'm a Chris Curtis fan, but let's be honest. Yamavov was doing well. You got to give credit where credit's due, and for things he was doing well. So even though it's a no contest, you know, he was doing well. I do want to give him credit there, but, you know, he doesn't get the win. He doesn't get the win bonus. Boy, has he been pissed off. Guy seems like kind of a prick, to be honest. Right? Who am I worried about if this is fucking Dan's show? I take enough shit for his bad picks. Let me see if I can stamp out the fucking carpet while I'm host of the show. Yeah, Imavov seems kind of like a jerk, let's be honest, right? You know, we try to be, we gotta be respectful of the fighters, folks, you know. We don't, actually, because it's MMA Gambling Twitter. We don't respect these motherfuckers. We wouldn't get in there, don't get me wrong. You know, as much as Dan's a bitch, he actually gets in there and fucking does a thing I ain't fucking do. But listen, I can call him a bitch. I can call him scared because I'm MMA Gambling Twitter, right? I was born in the gambling Twitter. You were just simply raised in it. That's what we're gonna get here. Sorry. A little band there squeaking in and out. Listen, I went through some growing pains, and what I like about Imavov and why I was leaning toward him, you know, and if you look at Dan Thompson's video, he was leaning toward Imavov. We'll see if he gets there now in the next room. But this is why I ended up going the other way, because even though there were some improvements, you look at his last corner, it's a camp that's built around him. Looks like a former fighter himself. Looks sharp, right? They're focusing, they're giving him the right messages, especially for a guy like Dolidze, focusing on him to jab, saying the right things in the corner. But Imavov was still flagging hard in that fight, you know? Still making suspect decisions, whether it's getting into it with Chris Curtis in the corner when he doesn't need to, taking the bait. For a high IQ guy generally, kind of, or at least not a high IQ, but, you know, he plays the part of a smart kid. He has some real falters in judgment with the kick to the downed opponent, right? These are things you have to take into account, you know what I'm saying? We saw it with a low-level prelim WMMA fight a couple weeks ago, but we saw it with a low-level prelim WMMA fight a couple weeks ago. You know what I'm saying here, folks? Come on. I mean, if there's a point of comparison there, that's not good. That's not good. So, you know, it doesn't make me like the Imavov side. Even though it's playable chalk, pick 'em price tag, it's still chalk as well, which is not sexy in MMA. Though I do have some chalk plays and targets lined up for it. Well, we got our shots being taken here. But I like the Cannonier side. Now, Cannonier's not a lot of meat on the bone. So I suggest playing him live. Looking to play him live. And I got some plays that I'm already playing pre-flop here that I'll give you guys in a second. But listen, you play it pre-flop because Cannonier, when he usually gets finished, it's in the first round. When Imavov gets finishes, they're usually round one, early round two. And he already established and was able to hurt the guy in round one before he got said finishes in round two, right? So you look at that, and Cannonier, you know, okay, I'm going to use some of, try not to fall asleep while I reference Dan Tom's notes here for a second. He noticed this, let me read it in first. I noticed this in the Southpaw report. That left hands with Jared Cannonier's common culprit, regardless of stance. And particularly this time, not only do straight shots bother him, regardless of stance. He writes EG. What is that fancy word for example? You fancy fuck. Jan Błachowicz jab. What else has he got here? He's got the left uppercuts from Reyes, who we'll talk about. I got some Southpaw notes. Don't fall asleep on me. And, yeah, it's left hand. It's the straights. And Dan says that it looks like Cannonier, especially with double jab feints, really prone to that right hand over the top. We didn't see Strickland commit to it many times, but when he did, he was hitting and having his best moments against Cannonier. Cannonier, on the other hand, will have leg and calf kicks because of said lead hand and left-handed threats from Is My Ass Off Imavov. All right. So there's that for anybody that didn't fall asleep. But basically, you know, as far as, you know, Cannonier being live is, you know, for live betting after round one is if those things are really effective, as the analysis points out, and if there is a finish, it's probably going to happen early on either side, which if it is the Cannonier side, then you miss the fucking boat. And the plays I'm about to give you pre-flop sadly won't help either. So maybe we lay a little bit Cannonier pre-flop if we get a you know, not that there's a lot of meat on the bone, but at least a plus number, let's just say. All right, let's just say. But let's just say we wait, or regardless if we wait or play pre-flop, or we buy into the Imavov side and we just keep this live option to buy out, because again, this kind of applies for all angles of the degenerate betting approach, or just betting approach in general, where if Cannonier doesn't get iced, you know, he can get finishes early, but a lot of his finishes come in round two. Remember the last Cannonier finish I actually did cash on, or Dantom did cash on, round two against Brunson? Yeah. And you notice he does it then too. So there are some things that, in Dantom's credit, we align. And I think that if we look at the line live and be a smart bettor, unlike Dan, I think we can profit here. I think maybe at the very least we can get 2-1 if Cannonier, even if Cannonier has a bad round, which in this scenario we want to hope for, because we know that Imavov has a suspect gas tank and he can't help himself but going for the finish. And if he doesn't, as we've seen before, not just suspect gas tanks, but when he doesn't get that finish early, he really does himself in and can almost give away a fight. I mean, we had a majority decision. And to be honest, when I went back to that Dolidze-Imavov fight, like, he let those rounds go way too close. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was a split decision, which I know people go crazy for. Don't throw it at me, folks. Hey, throw it at Dantom. But yeah, so, you know, that could happen, that could happen there. But Imavov is durable enough, athletic enough, knows how to play safe enough, where he can survive. Whereas Cannonier came on like a wrecking machine. And maybe he does get a finish here. Maybe it's late, so maybe, you know. When I'm at the counters on my way out of town, and I'm looking at the counter, maybe I'm sprinkling on some late Cannonier round props if the numbers are good. Because here's what I'm doing with Dantom. So he's limited in the bankroll for the show, but I'm kind of limiting him at the counter. He's basically going to be still playing his, and you'll see this represented more or less, that the round flyers and high value things will still be played the same, just because they just give, you're still giving a little just to gain a lot, right? What was the 30, I mean, I know not everything's Max Holloway round five, but what was that, $33 that motherfucker was bragging about in like $2,000, right? Shit like that, and he's hit stuff like that before. I obviously do all the time because it's fucking easy. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to give Dan some shine because he could fucking use it. You know how we do it in MMA gambling to it. All we do is win, baby. You know, it's not that we don't lose. We just don't talk about it. We just move on to the winning. I don't know. So, yeah, we're going to be back to the winning. But, yeah. So, we're going to be limiting Dantom, though, on, like, them straight play bullshits where it's, like, lay a unit, even if it's like, unless it's like a really dog, you know, we're confident on, and there's a good number, then maybe, but this -150 or -110 to win a unit, or +110 to +158 for a unit, we don't need to be risking that, especially on these fight nights, especially on shit that we're not super, super confident on, you know, at least for Dan's bankroll. He's bank building, he's confidence building right now, you know what I'm saying? He's not where I am and where you are, where the fucking winners are, right? So that's what's going on there. But we're going to be looking to fire live on Cannonier on Fight Night. That is our main live target. However, and again, you're going to hear it from me because I'm a fucking winner. But again, I want to give credit where credit's due. Dantom's been saying this forever. Now, he just says his last big night, which might be true for big nights goes back to August 2022. Dominick Cruz, Vicito Vera, that motherfucker. But shout out to the MMA analysis boys. They were down here for another UFC Southern Fight Night. Similar region. It wasn't Kentucky, but I believe it was Tennessee. What was it? Was it the Holly Holm and fucking Butchakova with the Thiago Silva girl, the Mama Kunitskaya Shkova, yeah, whatever, you know, that card, the Sanhagen Vera card. It was another Marlon Vera card. There we go. He does good on Marlon Vera card. Don't bet Jersey, Dan. Stay out of Jersey. I learned the hard way. Went for bye, I gotta skip over, you know, skipped over to New York. So listen, you don't bet Jersey, Dan, but maybe Dantom does good on these Southern cards or maybe when Vera comes back around, we'll see. But one note that he gave on that, right? And this is something that, like, people like me already knew, because fucking I'm the shit, you know. But you're hearing other people come under the potty late. I don't know. I'm just, you know, we got to throw shade because we're MMA gambling Twitter, right? But you have heard this point being made. But again, in Dan Tom's defense, he has made this for some time because, you know, most of us MMA gambling Twitter, we, you know, everything's easy money, don't get me wrong. All we do is win, don't get me wrong. But when we lose, it's a fucking robbery. Oh, it's a robbery, you know. Meanwhile, you know, people like Dan who actually have legit bad beats that are fucking hilarious, fucking loser. You know, he's the one over there with the legit bad beats, and he actually went to the... Did I get this straight? He went to the fucking judging school, that guy? Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, what a loser. Anyways, but the point is even though he can't get a win for his life, he does have a point that I want to bring up because it's going to be a profit angle that people are picking up on now finally. But again, in Dan Tom's credit, he's been saying it fucking forever, is that when you go to these other markets, yes, there are traveling judges, so you still see the UFC judges overseas, to the podunk markets, no offense, Kentuckians, all right, you see them travel there, right? The Sal D'Amatas, who's not as bad as everybody says. Sal's high level. Sal's a guy. And let me tell you about Sal. We go back, all right? He's off of Sal, okay? He's one of the best judges we got. But let's be honest. Our best judges turn in some questionable scorecards. Our best judges disagree with each other. Hold that thought. That alone justifies little stabs for degenerates on the split decision props. But when they go to the smaller markets, a lot of the markets will either outright have their prelims with just local judges, right? And then they'll mix them in with the higher level judges. Missouri was known to do that, although I believe this last time they actually did mix in the traveling judges throughout, so you can't always count on that. But that's a good thing, and let me tell you why. Because a lot of these local judges... And for as much crap as I talk about, you know, Jersey, which is another reason I want to bet there because Missouli only looks out for his own. We actually got guys in Jersey, right? They're friends of the podcast, good people, fans like you and me, who want to, make the sport better and be like Serpico and shit and fight from the inside, right? There's actually judges, apparently, that frequent the show a lot. You guys might not even realize, despite Dan's low numbers. And some of those are from Texas, another state that gets a lot of shit, right? But there are really good people in these commissions. So we want to get that across, okay? I get it. I fucking get it, okay? But that being said, good people are not. A lot of them aren't getting the same reps. A lot of them aren't the young crew coming up trying good. A lot of them are old heads that are just fucking sitting on their fucking jobs and collecting dust. And they still got the Diego Sanchez criteria in their head where cage pushing somehow wins you the fucking round, right? So, the good news about the volatile judging is we can lean into that. Meaning, any fight you think is favored to go the distance, you're almost justified, just from what I'm saying, for laying the split. But there are specific fights that I think will be potent for that. And we've either got them played, targeted, circled, and sighted up, baby. Because we're going to be fucking winning for a change on this program here. Thanks to yours truly, Donnie Clifton. All right. So, yeah, we got that. We got Cannoneer live. I flipped... I like Cannoneer. Imavov goes to split. I don't know if Dan Tom's going to be using it for his prop squad. He's probably going to be attacking some kind of split. Because Tony Sartori took a sub prop that we're going to get to. Shout out to Tony. Tony's a guy. Tony's a made guy as well. All right, come on, relax here. Listen, we got Cannonee Imavov by split plus 350. A Scottie Pippen. What does that get? I can't read it. I'm like Joe Pesci and fucking the Irishman over here with these night glasses. And it's what, like, I don't know. Something like a 1.5 unit return for the Scottie Pippen, and then just north of a 5 unit return is that was Cummins Cannon Pants Cannoneer split plus 700, 0.17 you on that for just over a unit and a half. So, you know, as long as we get to the end by split, we profit. Assuming we don't take too big of a live shot that fails. And it's Imavov by split. If Cannoneer gets a split, we profit. But we may do a little Cannoneer pre-flop. We're going to target him live. That's going to be the side we kind of live and die on, and our only bailout will be Emo Vault by Split Decision will be the only bailout. It's a narrow site, but that is only half a unit on the books right now, and considering that, you know, I cut Dan's units at the counter by half a unit, he cut mine for this show for half a unit, apparently. It's only going to be aiming for a 0.5 instead of a 0.1 we would, you know, normally do on this program here that you guys are accustomed to, right? So, yeah, only a half unit on the table, only maybe, you know, maybe a unit total total on the fight. Again, lower in the bankroll. I think it's going to keep things a little more fun, too, you know, let's be honest. And we gotta set realistic measures and watch now that we lower the units. Now Dan Tom's going to fucking win. And people are going to, and the same people that were telling him to be positive are going to be like, see, motherfucker, I told you all it took to be positive. And it was me, of course. When it was me the whole time, let's be honest. All right, next fight here, next fight. Oh, by the way, the odds. Odd schmatz. Plus 102 for Cannoneer. And is my ass off, Imavov, minus 122. Co-main event, schmo main event, Dominic Reyes. Isn't that the guy that beat John Jones? Plus 190. Dustin Jacoby, minus 230. I like fucking Ray Charles over here. I can't even read the numbers. Somebody give me a Pepsi and a piano. All right. Wait. Dan. Please no racial slurs. I didn't remember racial slurs. All right. I'm trying to keep it clean for you guys. Anyways, we got Dominic Reyes. This is going off a 2-1 underdog in some spots. And, listen. Dan Tom's a Jacoby fan. Dan Tom's a process fan. We can't go Dan Tom's way, though. Though we are going with the southpaw here, we're going with Dominic Reyes as an underdog. I know, listen. So, don't fall asleep, grab a pillow. I'm about to use a little bit of Dan's analysis before we get to the real analysis, right? The real analysis. But got a southpaw report here. Dustin Jacoby is 2-4 against UFC level southpaws. He's got a 500 record, folks. Need I say more? I don't want to, but I gotta at least read some of his fucking notes here. Bear with me for a second. And left hands from either stance, whether it's a Menafield hook from Orthodox or a Chris Kamozi, Khalil Rountree, Azamat Mirzakhanov, left hands, those are the common culprits. Okay. All right. Yeah, well. You know, you could connect the dots and stuff like Dan does, but the point is, Jacoby fights close, and he's got big favorite price tags, and this is MMA. MMA is volatile judging alone, plus the judging facts that we just gave. It's very scary, folks. And I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, Dan. You gonna back the chinny guy? Folks. They're both chinny. I mean, look at Jacoby's, you know, some of his rounds against Rountree, which I know is arguable, but look at against Mirzakhanov, where he's winning till he's losing, and then against Menafield, right? I mean, if De Niro from Copland was in his corner, Jacoby would come back and he'd be like, "You had him on the ropes and you blew it! You blew it!" How many times has De Niro said that hypothetically in Jacoby's corner? You know, I know Dan Tom loves him, Jacoby. He loves Mark Montoya and Factory X. He can't stop sucking that D. But let's be honest here, folks. The guy fights close. The guy fought the fucking Olakandy, Oleksijczyk guy. And he didn't even finish him. Like, the only time Oleksijczyk has ever gotten a decision was a weird fight against the Bukkake guy that got his knee snapped back. Right? And Jacoby. That's it. How do you go to decision with him? That guy turns around and gives it. He'll start unbuckling his own belt and, you know, ask you what kind of lube you like at a certain point if he doesn't get the job done. It's kill or be killed. Got to get sexual there, I know, but, you know, got to drive the point home. Point is, is that crazier things that happen than light heavyweights finishing each other, no matter what their history is. I get that, even though, let's be honest, we don't talk about, like, losing some. We just talk about winning. You know what I'm saying? And it's a robbery if we lost, and otherwise it's just an easy win. That's all it is. It's robberies and easy wins, baby. That's it. But yes, it could happen. Jacoby could finish him, but I think he's one of the quiet, less threats. And what I'm building toward is, regardless whether you want to jump off the cliff and you don't of a dog shot, regardless if maybe you don't want to bet the dog, but you don't even agree with me as far as it being dog or pass, fine. Giving you the other option. Target the overs in this fight. Both guys, again, their durability have cost them, right? I mean, they probably have De Niro Copland, Pete, you blew it every time they finish, because it's just every time they blow it, they're thinking about the time they blew it, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That plays in your head. You know what I'm saying? Got a layoff. You know, taking it slow. You know what I'm saying? I think we could get a close three round decision. Reyes doesn't go to decision a lot, but when he does, it's close too, like a Jacoby fight. And, well, their split decision is going off a double of the previous one. It's going off at plus 650. And I threw a Scottie Pippen. I could probably get it better at my old houses. But, again, to Dan's credit, motherfucker, I could see why he complains. They ain't get shit out. They want you in the fucking casinos out here. They want you in the casinos. They don't put the exit signs, and they probably put something in the air. Oh, you're lucky. I was not allowed to go into conspiracy theories. I promise, Dan. Oh, you guys are lucky. Careful of the air in the casinos. That's all I'll say. Listen. Probably get it a better number where you're at. But I like the split decision prop. Reyes, Jacoby, split. That's what we're playing. Also played Reyes by split, 17 units. Both these pay close to 2.5 unit returns, by the way, and this is only a half a unit exposure between both of them. But Reyes split is plus 1,400, okay? And where did the other half unit to go to make a whole unit of exposure on this fight? Well, the other half unit went on Reyes at plus 200. That's right. He is one of two dogs. We got one of two favorites. We ought to make it easy for Dan Tom, and I'm going to make it easy for you guys, because it's easy fucking money here, okay? So we got one targeted live, main event, maybe pre-flop, and we got Reyes pre-flop, plus the split decision prop, and Reyes by split, okay? All right, moving on. Raul Rosas Jr., minus 230. Ricky Tercios, plus 190. Who needs to do tape study on this one, folks? I'm not like Dan, okay? All right, I'm not doing. He's got to study because he's got OCD and he's writing about the fights and he fucking lives in his own personal. That ain't my bag, baby. We looking out for number one. We don't do tape study. All I see is a guy who looks like Jake Paul, and a guy that looks like Jake Paul with a broccoli cut. Sure, he might have a messed up Lowe's with a Jay Leno chin, but that looks like a winner to me, folks. That looks like a guy who is hip with it, whereas Tercios, I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to fucking sell me in an ayahuasca trip in New Mexico or some shit. I don't fucking know. Narrative Nation, folks. I'm going with the real analysis, right? Age, by the way. Dominic Reyes, 34. How old is Jacoby? 36. Where the fuck else are you going to get that analysis, folks? Come on. And you want to talk real stats? Fuck Dan Southpaw Report. How about this, guys? How about this? It's going to blow your mind in combat sports, right? Where the young eat the young and shit. But like, young eat the old, right? But it's going to blow your mind. But there are stats out there that tell you that the younger fighter wins more often than not. I know. I'm sharing. I should be charging you for this. I should be charging you just to look at what hits my Bet MMA tips before it beholds my long CLV schlong on the weekly basis. Right there? Betting boys. Fist bumps. Right. All right. So, going off of that great analysis, we're going to do some great smart bets. Not fucking little, Dan Pinn probably, like, he probably got hired over there off the plus 1400s and shit, you know? But here's where he jumps off. Parlays, baby. That's where the money is. Everybody knows it's not a sucker bet. Everybody knows parlays are real. Dan Tom only does the long shot for the small. A loss is a loss, motherfucker. At least have some fucking balls, Dan, and lay a real parlay for some real money. So since we're smart, not only are we parlaying, we're four-leg parlaying, baby. First leg. which will be the last leg, where we cash. Where we cash this shit. Raul Rosas Jr., baby. He's going to get it by submission. First round. Dan Tom here is leaning more toward a later fight. That's because he has respect for the fighters and he doesn't trust himself because he can't pick the round one finishes because he doesn't know easy if it bit him in the ass. So we got Rosas Jr. Bruno Vieira -265. Dustin Stoltz versus. Is that guy a Nazi? What's going on here? He really loves Germany, doesn't he? All right, I gotta watch him. Listen, I don't like Stolfus's chances here. You got the judo from Vieira. And the explosiveness, the big cage to move around. The question is, does he get it in round one? Does he get it in round two for Vieira? But the numbers in round two and round one aren't sexy. Even for me, you know, definitely ain't sexy for fucking Dantom Tifter as he listens by fucking third round go-go jerkata. He doesn't fucking want nothing to do with it, you know. I had some water. But yeah, so why don't we take the guesswork and play it smart? Parlay, betting bros. Parlay, easy money. Yep, that leg number two, Bruno Fajeda. Moving on. Carmel Thunder. That is who Danton probably is calling to come dance at his birthday party. All right, come on. We can't have a betting show without punching down on a minority group that already has troubles. Women make gambling doing it. We don't give a fuck as long as we're doing it. Okay, everybody else is just bitching. We got bootstrapped for a reason. Pull yourselves up. We don't need complaining. Hit the light. Hit the smash. It ain't going to Dan. It's going to my ass. Donnie Clifton, baby. Shout out to those of you who like the Jim Carrey catalog. All right, we got Carmel Thunder against Punahele Saariana. All right, so this one's a little biased, okay? I don't have the bias. It's Dan Tom with the bias to the South Box Dream Couture Hawaiian guy. But we all look close enough alike where, you know, I'm probably getting something thrown at me. I'm like, you know, I think I probably got something thrown at me one time. I was like, what the fuck is that for? And they're like, that's for losing a copy law. That's for not seeing the body kick from Brendan Allen. Like, all right, you fucking assholes. Jesus Christ. Apparently, Punahele's like the nicest guy, too, and everybody just goes off on him. But it doesn't matter because women make gambling Twitter. We don't give a fuck that they're nice guys and they're fighting, sacrificing brain cells for our entertainment and they might not be well. Who cares about human beings? It's about easy money, motherfuckers. That's all we care about. That being said, you really can't trust either of these guys. It doesn't really matter a pick. You know, MMA gambling Twitter, of course, we're probably going to be, you know, betting on this heavy either way because it's just one of those fights. But honestly, I don't even think we're doing that, folks. We come on. I know you guys. We're not doing that with this one. That being said, I could see a lot of people on Baeza. Probably per bias, probably going to have a Punahele Saariana pick. But this is not a fight that neither I or the great Dan Tom. Not the great Dan Tan, like the fucking pedophile Michael Caine in that Nolan film, right? That opens with Michael Caine doing the perverted magic trick to the kid. Oh, well, I'm going to make my penis disappear and then reappear again. If you're lucky, this trick will last for about 15 seconds. Why is Michael Caine a pederast? Didn't you guys see that fucking the director's cut of Cider House Rules? Oh, I didn't really like the director's Cider House Rules. It caught out my love scene with Ailey Joe Osman. Sorry, you gotta. I'm working on my Michael Caine. I'm trying to get it like Dan Tom's. What is Dan Tom's note? The key to a Michael Caine, like if you're doing him as Alfred in the Dark Knight, is you gotta sound like you're coming in every sentence. You know, my master Wayne. Anyways, we're moving on here. He's not the great Dan Tom. It's Dan Tom, all right? Don't get it confused with that other perverted shit just because he's a creep, okay? I get it. Donnie Clifton. All right, we're moving on. Punahele Saariana, no play. Stay away, motherfucker. That's just one of those days. Julian Marquez, friend of the show, -135. Zachary Reese, Luke Rockhold Light. I thought he was a southpaw. This guy lists himself as a switch. But, you know, that could be something else. Isn't that what the kids say? Maybe he's, what does that mean? He's dominant and submissive? I don't know either way. I think he's submissive for this fight, though, is my point, folks. Because I got Marquez here. That's right, baby. I got the Cuban Missile Crisis, the hairy-chested, you know, sexy caveman motherfucker Marquez himself. Smarter than he looks, smarter than he seems. Remember Dan Tom calling those submission props? That's what I was alluding to with Tony Sartori. Stealing the submission prop from my boy there. Just kidding, Tony Sartori is a guy. He didn't steal nothing. Dan Tom's just too slow. It's your fault, Dan. Don't complain. It's your fault. You're the one that's got to do all the content pieces to get stuck on the main and co-main event. Easy pickings for us, though, right? Anyways, without tipping the hand, we got Marquez by submission here. But we also played Marquez straight up because that line is great now. This would have been a 1.35 for a one-unit return. But again, we're cutting down things in half. However, this is about as big as the plays are going to get. They're not going to get over a unit. But for this one, we laid three-quarter units to make a little over a half unit back. So not a bad, not a pick-em 50-50 even return, but, you know, enough to, you know, to tickle my chode hairs. Not for the full harangue, right? We're not getting any, I'm not going to gross you guys out, okay? We're not having a normal Donnie Clifton Saturday night, let's just say. But we're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting the tickle. All right. So we're going to get Marquez. 3/4 of a unit. However, we're also going to look to play him by sub. It's not written on the sheet here. But I'm seeing it go off at plus 400. And you know, we'll probably take that for a half a unit or so. We'll see out of the official unit layout. But it actually might match kind of close in the size, you know, to where if he doesn't win by submission, it might be, so maybe we put just something small. Yeah, we just put something small on there, if at all. Because you know why? We're actually probably going to have the submission in the round robin. That's right, the round robin. Now, we'll see, because, again, if it was just my houses, it'd be all splits and round three decisions and in the round robins and all that. Dane Tom can't get any of that shit. And the shit that he can get, he can't round robin most of it, especially at the counter. So these split decision props, out the window, a lot of these things. So a lot of them get substituted for round props, but I'll give you where we're leaning for the winning round robin that we're giving out. Not the Dan Tom one. The Donnie Clifton gets all the credit this week and all the monies for the likes and the, all that stuff. Come on. You guys know what's up here. All right. I think that finishes out the main card. And we're on to the prelims. And I'll get to you guys in the chat here at the end. I promise. I'm just trying to get this fucking episode down. Time down for this motherfucker. Yeah, I believe so. Before that. Because I think we're going to our next chalk that we have targeted. But I think, you know, because we actually can read markets and we actually see LV, motherfuckers. Danton doesn't get the CLV, does he? He'll never get us CLV crew, right? We're like the fucking, like the Mad Max tweet Dan Tom sent out, where it was just like everybody like, that is MMA gambling Twitter, like, you know, showing how long our dicks are just over this stupid shit. But it's what we do. It's who we are. That's right. Now we're out of the prelims. Benjamin's over here. We're going to make the Benjamins. You don't got to scratch, buddy. All right. Ludovic Klein! One Nazi's here. Apparently, he's not even German, but whatever. Minus 125. Trying to get mud on the carpet while I'm here, folks. Thiago Moises. Speaking of Andy Kaufman. Moises Kaufman. Plus 105 there. This one kind of surprises me, but it pretty much opened in this territory. Pretty much a pick of mods. So we're not really getting CLV, but I do think we can get a better number than the minus 127, at least at the houses available here. Of course, I would have already got it at even money or whatever, the best numbers out, because I'm a CLV early hunter, but I didn't have the access to the lines. So I got drug out to this shithole in the desert for this shithole show. But don't fall asleep, folks. Don't fall asleep. I'm about to say some southpaw analysis here. I don't know what his number is. What is it here? But Dan Tom says, and apparently he said this a bunch, this is another one of the things that Dan Tom says a bunch, and regardless of result or if he's smart enough to put the money on the right part of it, which, spoiler alert, he's not. Of course he's not. It's fucking Dan Tom. But he's been right about this motherfucker, which is Moises has been allergic to Southpaw since, like, he fought, what's his fucking name on the regionals? Robert Watley, right? And that's not even a UFC-level guy, right? So not counting Robert Watley. He is 0-1 to Beneil Dariush. 1-1 when you count the Michael Johnson fight, but he won that off a Hail Mary leg lock. Real high percentage in replica. Was getting fucking pieced up for the entire first round. Asterix. Bobby Green, not an official Southpaw, but lit him the fuck out and should have won that fight as well. So deceptive on multiple levels. Islam Makhachev, of course, he lost that. So now he's officially 1-2, but he should be 0-3 / technically 0.4, 0.5-3. Or, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean. Whatever you want to count Bobby Green's as. Next Southpaw he faces is Benoit Saint-Denis. Lost to him. I don't even know if Mitch Ramirez is or if he's Southpaw, but, you know, that fight took place in the UFC level. Is this guy UFC level? I don't fucking know. Looks like a last-minute replacement there. But the point is, what was that? The guy is officially 1-3, should be 0-4 against UFC-level lefties. He's facing Ludovic Klein. And here's where the real analysis comes in, guys, okay? Here's where the real analysis comes in. We got Thiago Moises, 29. And what does the real analysis say? Ah, 29. Okay, wow. 222. This is where the real analysis... It's not tape study, folks. Ah, what the fuck? Ah, Moises is younger by like a month. Okay. This could change things, folks. We'll see. We'll see if it's meant to be. We'll let the line movement decide it, folks. But I'm looking to put a half unit, which would be a full unit, or a 1.35 in this case, but not even going to go Marquez. Just a half unit there. Maybe the 7.5, actually. Maybe we do match. If we're doing that for Marquez for a similar price, we do it for Klein. But yeah, I just figure people are going to want Moises because there's a lot of hype on him, and Dan Tom never bought it. I never bought it. So we're aligned there. For whatever the fuck that's worth. I'm sure Ghost Phantom, that A-plus analyst in the chat, probably has something to say about this Southpaw shit. So go check his stuff out. Support it. That guy's a sharp fucking guy right there. He's a sharp guy, right? I tell you. He makes it in, like, the colorful pictures so I can understand, you know, and everybody else from MMA Gambling, we can just, he breaks it down nice and simple for us. Not that technical bullshit that Dan does. All right, next fight. Oh, Brad Katona, I can't tell how I'm going to talk. You think that face fucking sound annoying? Oh, Brad Katona, it's minus 625. Jesse Butler, plus 455. Easy. Bad price. Fight a Dan doesn't like. He got burned last time by him. Of course, Dan Tom's not going to bet him, which means not only are we going to bet Brad Katona, but that's right, baby. We're adding him to the parlay. We're going to get that number up any way we can. He's leg number 3, baby. Brad Katona, that's all you need to know. John Castaneda, I don't know how he's doing it. Missed him at dog money. I felt like he would have been worth a dog shot. He's an underrated guy. He's probably going to be the pick here, but it's too close. No foreseeable edge. A pass, unless you're seeing something that I'm not. Hit me up, you know what I'm saying? We'll go split it half and half. We'll split the winnings, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. I don't know about that otherwise. Was thinking about this guy as a dog. We'll see. I like that plus 220. That's CLV the other way. But, you know, he's an older guy. And he doesn't look as athletic and explosive as Taylor Lapolis, who's your favorite at minus 270 comeback on Stamen plus 220. Of course, Dan Tom's going to be partial to Cody because he's a technical guy and he counterfights and he's been on the wrong end of some decisions and he trains at Extreme Couture. He's going to have Eric Mixick in his corner, right? Of course, Dan Tom's going to be there on that side. But here's where we meet in the middle, where the money is, okay? Because I'm going to go with the more athletic guy, you know what I'm saying? He's probably younger, fresher face. Let's go Lapolis, right? But here's where, if you're torn, this is what you do. this fight has got split decision written all over it. It's so bad, it's only got a plus 250 number. I'm going to hold out and see if we can get a better one. In fact, I'm going to check right now on these bullshit apps. On my app, of course, I'd be getting the best number with the CLV and all that shit, because I'm the shit. But we're playing with Dan's shit here. This is not the shit. So let's just see for a second here. What are they going off at? What are you going off at? Is it a small bag with a small price? Is it still small? Or are we Strong Island rocking, baby? Nope, they ain't got nothing listed yet. But we're going to target. We're going to be targeting Stam and Lapolis split. I've got it written down here. All right? That's what we're going to be targeting for that fight. Carlo Prattis, minus 35. Charles Radke, plus 195. I'm surprised we don't go for this dog. This seems like a dog we can get behind on MMA gambling Twitter. Our kind of guy, right? Chuck Buffalo. But the pick's probably going to be Carlos Prattis. No analysis here. Let's go forward. Probably not a fight anybody should be heavily exposed to, if we're being honest, okay? That being said, someone will cash and will be a fucking genius, because they are, because it's easy money. Minus 148, Andrea, the not speaking of Nazis, Jesus Christ, what's going on here? Andrea Lee, the KGB in the house, minus 148. Montana De La Rosa, plus 120. Didn't we get this rematch already? What is going on? What the fuck? I figure I'd take a little break from MMA. I come back a few years later, and they're still doing the same matches. What's going on with these matchmakers? What the fuck? Who asked for this shit? I'll take Hannah Montana. Because, you know, I don't know, man. Them racist girls can give a good hate if, you know what I'm saying. Oh, we're gonna stick with Montana. We'll stick with Montana. Next fight. Denise Gomes, plus 138. Eduardo Mora, minus 162. I don't know, but I'm going to lead toward Gomes because it's a WMMA undercard fight, and this is a low-level one. The dogs are always live, and the favorites are always live to give it away, even if they're winning. So give me the dog and Toutmaster. We'll see where the fights go for at DanTomMMA. I'll see if I dust off my old Twitter account for you folks. I'll see what the reviews are for this, but this is a... this is a rare one-time thing, folks, so don't get used to me. We got Punjab. Am I not to say that? Wait. Dan, no racial slurs on the top. I know! All right. Puja Toma, plus 130. Rayanne DeSantos, minus 280. I don't know. We'll go with fucking Rayanne because she sounds like a fucking Chucky doll. Let's see what's left of the fucking card. Did we miss anything? Probably not. Not important. It doesn't look like it. How the fuck did we do on time here? 57. Holy shit. Looks like we're getting under an hour, folks. We'll see how long you fucks keep me here. I'll do a recap here in a second. Let's go to the chat, and then we'll recap everything. Everything else here. We got, ET time, enforcer number two, bonus watching. They still got Ultimate Fighter still going on? What the fuck? Jesus Christ. What the fuck is wrong with this sport? What's wrong with you people? Jin Karasu. Oh, this is great. Rapping Bang Town merch. Well, you know, we're soaking up the sun. We got sun's out, guns out. You know how it is. We don't got that weak fucking low T energy here. Donnie, that's right, baby. B. Watson is the man. Bert, that's old school. Degenerate Dane, this card is hot garbage. Risen 1 KSW Glory, that's right, it is. John Atlas, whoa. Who's this cool cat? Donnie Clifton, motherfuckers. Bringing some wins and we're giving Dan Tom a fucking break. Boy, does that fucking sad sack needed. Motherfucking barely has a working arm right now. Having to pin a pen in there like he's fucking Bob Dole because he can't move the wrist. It's just stuck there. It's great. And why he'll probably be extra late. Rain Lamina, the great white hope. We are all into that, yo. Of course, dog. Come on. You know, Dan Tom's always talking about his 3% Portuguese. Like, motherfucker, you're 30% Italian, you dumb shit. John Atlas sounds like Ray Longo's nephew. Ray Longo, that's right. Here's the thing. Next time you watch Die Hard, picture Ray Longo. He sounds just like Bruce Willis. I shit you not. And then it's even funnier when you picture Ray Longo in like a dirty wife beater running around. Oh, it's fucking great. Fucking Longo. All right. Dottie's quite snacky. I love it. All right. Edward Vartanian would have been easy money, Char. Edward Vartanian, easy money. Edward Vaspanian, I would have fucking spammed the bets on him so much. Real analysis, Blackspo. You know what it is, dog. It's the real analysis. Athletic potential, we know. We know. Fenyo, what's up? Finding some real betting advice from a pro. That's right, real betting advice. We brought the real stats, folks. The reach. The height. The age. The pigmentation. Yeah, baby. MMA gambling Twitter is how we get it done. Google Wesley Colvin, Kentucky in the house in here. All right, see, we told you, this is the reason. Guys like Wesley Colvin is why I said earlier, we shoehorn Kentucky. We shoehorn you guys into the Beast Coast. We welcome you like this. Come on. Come give Uncle a kiss. But not really, because we ain't about that. We're too macho. Come on. Shout out to the MMA Analysis Podcast. Some real fucking OGs. The fuck did I stumble late on into here? Man, I'm amazed. Hopefully we see him evolve with the twist kick. All right, M boys. Dan, Tom, digging the method acting. Wesley Colvin. This is Kerry Flynn Kaufman level method act. It's a smart man here. Somebody gets Donnie Clifton. Somebody gets Donnie Clifton. This motherfucker, great betting strat. Bet the house on every underdog that's black explosive and all the women's fights are going. This is, it's that easy. Why are we making it difficult with this analysis, schmalysis? Well, look at this. Under an hour, we're fucking about to get out of here. What the fuck is this shit? This guy is... The guy who beat John Jones, you bet, motherfucker, because he did. That's right. This Jimmy Cotto guy. I see why he's the enforcer, Dan. I see why he's the enforcer. He's smart. He's smart. Very smart. This isn't Tuesday. Robbery and easy wins. We aren't the ones fighting in there, but easy win with my bet hits because I love the smell of my own fire. Right. The fungal. All right. Jack Nicholson impression. Background noise. What's this guy doing? Dan, Tom, time. Smash that like button. That's right, motherfuckers. All right. Looking up director's cut of Side of House rules. Yeah, I bet you are. All right, I forgot Andrea Lee was fighting this week. Fight site's in the house. What's up? Support the fight site. What's up with those guys? I feel like I'm not quite drunk enough for this. All right, sorry, guys. All right. Pooja Tomar was the fighter that threw herself and gave up her back against Stamp Fairtex. Sucks at MMA. All right, that sounds like par for the course. All right, hopefully this wasn't too painful. Hopefully it was less painful than Dan Tom, and we're going to get some wins. Recap. All right, we're taking Cannon Pants over Is My Ass Off. We're taking Reyes over Jacoby. Taking Rosas Jr. over Tercios. Taking Bruno Fajeda over Stoltzfus. Taking Marquez over Reese. Taking Puna over Carmel Thunder. And taking Klein over Moises. Probably take Prattis over Radke. Check me on fight day. Taking Katona over Butler. Taking Andrea... Taking Montana over Andrea Lee. Fight day Castaneda over Marcos, but that's close. Staying away. Take Armando Mora or taking Denise Gomez and Toutmaster over Armando Mora at the very least. We'll see where we end up on fight day. Probably a biased Stamen pick. And the split that we're going to target. And I forgot to say, our fourth leg was the over in this fight, which is chalk, but it equals plus 205. So, and then we're taking Rayan over Tumar. And recapping plays, starting with that missing leg, the fourth leg, the last final leg, which will be the first leg on Fight Night's Damon Lapolis over. We got a second leg for that parlay is going to be Gatona. Then it's going to be Bruno Fajeda. Then it's going to be Rosas Jr. for plus 205. That's for half a unit, which is the new one unit. And they're only going to go down for a half unit as is, so they're going to only help half as much if Dan Tom does win, but we're going to get him some winning traction tonight, this weekend. Straight, we've got Marquez -135.75 units. We may do Cannon, yeah, pre-flop, but definitely looking a live bet Cannon pants. Reyes +200 pre-flop, a half a unit. Klein pre-flop, we're going to look to see if we can get a better number, but I'll play anything under -135 for at least a half a unit on Klein. 0.75 unit max. Check it on Fight Day at Dan Time MMA. What my plays he posts. My plays. We got Cannoneer, Imavov, split decision, +350, 0.33 U. Cannoneer, split, +700, 0.17 U. Half unit total exposure. Reyes, Jacoby, split, +650, 0.33 U. Reyes, split, +1400, 0.17 U. We're going to target Ludovic. No, we're going to target Stamen and Lapolis split. We're going to be targeting that. Also, probably sprinkle Small and Marquez sub, which will be part of the round robin. Maybe we don't play Stamen. It's over 2-1. That justifies the spot, even maybe on a five-legger at +220. Perhaps. We got Stamen money line there. Maybe we put a little since we're not on Puna, but we're going to do a bias pick, and his only win condition, you know, not only, but main win condition maybe is KO, because Baez, even when he is winning, can just lose it. Maybe you put a little KO on there for Puna. Puna, Marquez sub, Stamen money line. What the fuck else was we thinking in there? Yeah, nothing for me, nothing for the stream, maybe not. Yeah, maybe like a Dominic Reyes KO in case he gets it done early for a fourth. Something like that. Check me on fight day. Anyways, we went over the hour, but still way shorter. And that fucking degenerate loser keeps you guys. But we're going to get him back on track. Gave him a break. Apologies for the weirdness. Hopefully you guys liked it. Hopefully you guys take these plays. Go to the bank. Put your kids' college funds on there. We're going to cash the bets. Hit the like button. Super cash on your winnings. Tip the show, because they're going. Your boy, Donnie Clifton. All right. Get your panties out of a bunch. Get back on your fucking winning ways. Pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. Make it easy money. And always protect and the house.